Examining issues of race and ethnicity through the lens of science fiction today on UK Perspectives. I'm Tom Goodell. A new course at UK examines Afrofuturism in science fiction, speculative fiction, and much more. The course is taught by Damaris Hill and Nathan Moore, both of whom are our guests today. Welcome to UK Perspectives.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. The term Afrofuturism was new to me, but I've since learned that it's about 20 years old. So tell us about it. How do you define Afrofuturism, Dr. Hill?
Okay, in layman's terms, I think about Afrofuturism as being a space to contextualize race, identity, and difference in settings that are in the future, may they be near future or far future, and very much rooted and philosophies pertaining to gender, race, and difference that are present in our own reality.
So it's not just, as I started out talking about science fiction, but really it goes far beyond that into music and art and film and basically all genres.
All genres of art, and I really see Afrofuturism as a blending or a marriage of a way of conceptualizing difference creatively and intellectually.
Nathan Moore, why do you say, or why do you think it's important for a university to teach a course in Afrofuturism?
I think it's because it's something that we're not really hearing about. And even though it's 20 years old, we're still not hearing much about it. There's not a lot of exposure in the media or in the arts, but it's very important. And Alondra Nelson talks about something. She coined the phrase. She talks about the digital divide, which is where race has been seen as like oppositional to technology and moving forward, especially for African Americans. So a course like this shows you an undercurrent. It shows you something different. It shows you the truth.
Damaris, tell us about some of the principal writers and artists who are associated with Afrofuturism. Would I recognize some of the names?
You would recognize some of the names. Ishmael Reed, Octavia Butler, Ndi Okafor, to just name a few. But also we're looking to creative artists that explore technology and futurisms of race in sound and music. So we're experimenting, listening, and analyzing music from Sun Ra, Michelle Ndegio Cello, and how she's looking towards Nina Simone as inspiration and reconfiguring Nina Simone in a future context with electronic instruments. And I also want to say that as far as like creativity and this experimenting with future constructs of race, actually the earliest that I remember in African-American literature would be W.E.B. Du Bois with The Comet in 1921 or the early 20s. And then we can also look to Rosetta Tharpe and her incorporating the electric guitar in her gospel, pop, and jazz music in the 40s.
Nathan Moore, how have you gone about teaching Afrofuturism to the students, and how many people? Well, this is not a traditional class, first of
no.
all. So talk a little bit about
teaching
that.
Teaching at all?
Oh,
no.
Okay. All right. So
go ahead, Nathan.
Okay.
Well, I'm not a teacher. Hopefully, sometime in the future, but that's after grad school, which is far, far away. This is my independent studies course, which is part of my interdisciplinary learning here. I'm an English major and an African American studies minor. So for that minor, you have to do some independent studies, some form of research, and I was really just like following my passion of like learning about African Americans and their experience in like the social landscape of America. And me being a nerd, I wanted to learn more about science fiction, and me being a writer, want to learn more about writing and basically what I want to do later on in my career. So it was just a blending of just all these intellectual and artistic endeavors that I really wanted to look into.
Mm-hmm. Well, for both of you then, what are some of the things you've learned about Afrofuturism so far this semester? I know it's early, but what kinds of things have you learned that you didn't know before you started?
Well, I think I was aware that there was a type of double consciousness present in Afrofuturism, but I didn't contextualize it as so. And also this new term, necromancy, which I'm kind of uncomfortable with because I have a phobia of dead bodies. But it's actually talking with the dead, right? And so I actually see this expression in some earlier artistic theories, such as jazz, when there's an ignoring of time. And you also see it in African religious practices, where the ancestors actually are intermediaries between you and the divine. But I never thought about it in context of necromancy. And I'm going to let Nate explain, because he did a whole independent unassigned research project on the history of the word and how we've been using it in Western philosophy. And so I'll let him go into that. But I hadn't considered that concept before in terms of Afrofuturism.
So necromancy, as we think about it today and like in pop culture and in the media and in literature, is like speaking with the dead. Like necro means dead, mancy means magic, so like dead magic. But originally, like back in like the early like Renaissance period and even before that in the Middle Ages, it was called negromancy, which means like black magic, so something bad. So I think Ishmael Reed is definitely playing with that idea of what it means to be black and magical.
Coming back to science fiction for a moment, which is something that, you know, occupied a lot of my misspent youth. I, of course, when I first started reading science fiction, I was thinking, I was fascinated by rockets and traveling outside of the solar system and visiting the stars and the other galaxies. And that's what compelled me to read the space stations, which, you know, didn't exist back then, but now are a reality. But the more I read science fiction, the more I realized it's not really about the future. It's really about us. It's a kind of modern mythology. It's our our version of the Greek myths. And I take it some of the or most of the Afrofuturism literature is also really talking about us and about our lives. So tell us a little bit about that aspect of Afrofuturism.
I think a good example of that would be like the comet. So do you want to talk about the comet, Nate, or you want me to
talk? Sure, no, I'll talk about the comet. Okay. So the comet is written by W.E.B. Du Bois, and he's really known for his terms, double consciousness. And he was a social theorist and a sociologist, but he also was a fiction writer. And in this story, he imagines this near future sort of dystopia where a comet passes over New York and this noxious fume is let out and it basically knocks everyone unconscious or kills them. And the two people that are left are him, or is his main character, a black man, and then a white woman, Jim and Julie. And it's like, how are they going to negotiate, you know, the presence of this racial divide in like trying to move forward into this new world?
And this was written in the 1920s.
Yeah.
So this is very far ahead of its time.
Very much so.
Both in terms of the kind of writing about science fiction, but also in terms of the racial aspect of it.
Yes. And I think it was written, it's also important to talk about, or something that we discussed in our class, what kind of made it very progressive is that despite the ever-present threat of lynching of the day, that Julia and Jim once the construct of society is not present, they decide that they do want to be in love and that they do want to be together and that they're going to repopulate the human race. And once they make that decision, all of a sudden Julia's father appears, and that's no longer a possibility. And so Nate and I had a long discussion about what historical factors play into that no longer being a possibility. And what actually does Julia's father represent, right? Is he, because he's a wealthy banker type of man. So does he represent or symbolize capitalism within the construct of race and time? Does he symbolize imperialism? Is he like a divine figure? And how would all of that play into the racial divide and the anxiety about repopulating the earth using different biological race markers?
Something else that struck me as I looked back on the science fiction that I read growing up, which was primarily written in the 50s and 60s. Of course, most of the authors were white men, if not all of them. And race really wasn't addressed in those books. But I thought for a moment about Isaac Asimov's writing about robots and the way the robots were regarded as an underclass. And how they were discriminated against and how they were treated very poorly by the ruling class of the time. And I realized, particularly with an author like Asimov, who was a very progressive man and very interested in civil rights, that there might have been a metaphorical message here that I missed when I was 12. Is that something, too, that you maybe consider in the course of
I think that's always this? Present in science fiction, right? And it's always present in literature. Toni Morrison talks about, in her essay, Unspeakable Things Unspoken, she talks about what if the white whale in Moby Dick was actually pure whiteness as a construct or as a social construct, right? So there's always been an abstraction of inequalities present in our art forms because art reflects life, particularly American authors, right, with this notion of race and subjectivity. So I think...
And there are taboo topics like race that a white author maybe can't talk about unless you're Mark Twain.
Or can't speak about directly, right?
Yes.
And that's another discussion about, you know, how much power and privilege is really present in the United States and how it seems to be a range and not absolutes, right? And so if the author happened to be very independently wealthy, they could speak about race. But because they're subject to an industry that relies on sales, they may have to more covertly speak about their ideas, or they may have to sustain some relationships that may be threatened by their ideas considered about race. But I think this discussion of authority, dominance, and less dominant cultures is always present in science fiction. I think about Octavia Butler's Dawn and how in that particular novel, which is a part of a trilogy, human beings are subjugated by aliens that actually co-opt the Earth. And her charge, the main character's charge, is to basically restart the human race. But she has to do it on their terms and conditions. And she's basically one of the characters that has decided to assimilate and to go along with the alien authority figures and to collaborate to build something different. But also present in the trilogy is another group of humans that completely reject the subjugation. And their experiences are played out. Simultaneously.
And the whole, it seems to me the whole concept of the alien in mm-hmm. science fiction is related to this discussion too.
Yes.
The interaction of our dominant culture with a dominant culture from another planet or another world.
Right. And so when you look at the construct of the alien, I think traditionally the alien identity and presence had been subjugated in terms of the human form being the most intellectual, the smartest, the person, the group of people to have the greatest technology. But as you see, Octavia Butler kind of abstracts that notion, right? And she makes us reconsider, what if the alien presence was more intellectually advanced than us? What if they can? What if they held all of the power? And I think it's important to have subjugated voices present in science fiction because it actually broadens the genre and the scope of possibility in that genre.
When you talked about androids, it made me think of Janelle Monáe, which we just talked about this week on the blog. Janelle Monáe talks about androids actually being like the new other and how she sees the future. And Janelle Monáe is definitely Afrofuturistic, and she, you know, queers the idea of the binary of masculine, feminine. She's always in a suit and she thinks tuxedos are classy. But that's something that you really don't see for like women artists. You think of like Beyonce or Ciara, and that's like the image of black femininity, and it's like hypersexualized. But Janelle Monáe, she's like, I'm above that. You know, she's very suave and intellectual, and she talks about like electric ladies, the idea of like technology and womanhood being coupled together to form like this new way of imagining femininity in the media.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put a link to that blog on our website so our listeners can get involved in this conversation too.
Oh, great. The address is www.afrofuturelit.blogspot.com, and we'll definitely link it.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Our guests have been Damaris Hill and Nathan Moore, who are both participating in UK's Afrofuturisms class, Afrofuturisms in African American Literature. And there's more information about the course at wuky.org, where we'll also have our complete UK Perspectives interview. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.